This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Always we begin with the praise, the thanks of Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love and our greetings, salutations of beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his pious and his pure family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It's about probably the last month or so before the year kind of ends. Everyone looks forward to the 15th of December. That's almost like the cutoff. And November is like that last lap in the marathon. Not that I know much about marathons, but it's like that last hurdle. Not that I know much about hurdles either. But that is where everyone gets to November, and we just want to get through this month towards December. It's also a very difficult month where papers that were supposed to be done during the year become due. Exams for our kids. And you know, when our kids go through exams, the whole house goes through exams. Deadlines and budgets for the financial. Everything sort of, November is where you have to catch up and do a lot of work so that you can get to December. And when you speak to, I have conversations with people, how are you, where are you at? It's like, I just want to get to December. I just want to get through this last hurdle. And one of the things that stops us, and a lot of this is most of you are working people, but also for our kids that are going through exams, it's about getting in and starting that last climb. If the year was a hike, the last climb, we're at the last point, is to get that energy, get that strength, to make that last summit. And what holds us back is usually this monkey on our back called procrastination. How do we start? How do we get going? How do we push ourselves, you know, across the line? There's a saying amongst the Salaf, amongst the pious predecessors, At-taswifu min ash-shaytan. Taswif, sofa, I will. Sofa, not che. Sofa mean I will. I will get thee. I will make salah. I will make tahajjud. I will give charity. I will get the deadline done. Mina shaitan. That's a whisper from shaitan. He's telling you, don't worry about it. Watch another episode. You will do it later. We'll get thee. The deadline is coming. That is a whisper from shaitan. And the Salaf would say, beware of procrastination because it is one of shaitan's strongest weapons. One of its strongest weapons. For some, shaitan misleads through desire, through, you know, entertainment and enjoyment. Whereas, you know, some people who have a good head on their shoulders, they know what they should do, what they shouldn't do. They know they're gonna get there. They see the path in front of them. Shaitan, for this person, he uses taswif. You will do it. Don't worry. Just wait. Tomorrow will come. Take today off. You had a long week. Take another day off. And before you know it, your time is up. And that is what. Your time is either up for studying for the exams, your time is either up in terms of some deadline, or your time is even up, you're in your qabr. You never got to where you wanted to be. You always knew you wanted to get there. You always wanted to be that person. But through procrastinating, shaitan caused you to waste your time. And procrastination, one of the difference between, we'll talk a little bit about outright laziness. Sometimes laziness, the sweet side of laziness and procrastination. Procrastination leaves the person with a lot of regret. The person who procrastinates, he knows what he wants to do. He has the will, the desire, but he sits there and he doesn't get much done, and he fills himself with the regret. I was reading what nurses and doctors said, what people would do on their last, you know, on their deathbed, the day before they passed away, and the conversations they would have. Most people regret the things they never did that they should have done. The biggest regrets people have, I should have done these things that I knew I was supposed to do. The procrastination that stopped you from living the best version of yourself will be the biggest regrets of your life. At the end of the day, that's what we're going to regret. Recent studies have shown that people regret more the things that they haven't done than the things that they have done. And in addition, feelings of regret and guilt resulting from missed opportunities tend to stay with you much longer. Doing something, trying something, getting it wrong, and then fixing the mistake feels bad, but it feels a whole lot better than an opportunity where you just let go and missed without even taking your shot, without even attempting it. That is going to always stay with you. And there is this negative cycle about procrastination. You delay, and as time gets on, it gets worse and worse, and you feel more helpless, and eventually you're just in the spiral of not getting anything done. So why do people procrastinate? I was watching some videos, and why are there some of us, we get a deadline, we've got a month, and we know if we just do 5 or 10 minutes a day, we'll get there easily. But then we end up the last 2, 3, the last day before the time, and then we have to cram like 10 hours and get it done. Why do we do this? There are different types of psychologies here, different types of people. We get the genuine slacker, the person who lacks the willpower. You know, they lack the self-motivation to get up and do it. They don't have that vision, I want to do something better. So they're the slacker. There's the person who wants to do something, but he's always analyzing. Should I go with A? Should I start? How do I start this paper? How do I start? Which chapter? He looks at the book. I need to study 10 chapters. Do I start with chapter 1, 2, and 3? And he spends the whole week thinking about it. Where do I start? And he's analyzing, but he's analysis paralysis. He never actually gets moving. He just sits there thinking and thinking. There's the perfectionist, similar to the analysis paralysis. You're so scared of getting something wrong. You're so scared of not doing it right that you end up doing nothing. You get the guy who starts, but every 5 minutes he's distracted. Every 5 minutes, I need to take a break now. I need to check a new YouTube video. I need to look at, did someone message me on Facebook? You do multiple things. Okay, you start with math 5 minutes a day, but okay, maybe I should do biology. And you end up not really finishing anything because you don't have that ability to sit down and really graft. And of course, there is this concept of poor time management. And this insan, wal asr innal insan lafi khusr, Allah says, by time, you are all losing. We always have this false sense of security. I have enough time. I have enough time to study. I have enough time to fix my relationships. I have enough time to fix my relationship with Allah. I have enough time to memorize the Quran. Whatever it is that you had those goals, and we don't realize we are constantly losing. Some might say, well, what's the difference between procrastination, fatigue? Because I know a lot of people are very tired. You had a rough, long year. I'm just tired. I need a break. And laziness. And just pure laziness. And procrastination, if you were to say, a guy who procrastinates is that they know what they need to do, they want to do it. They really genuinely have this desire. There's a voice in their head, I want to pass the exam. I want to lose that weight. I want to do X, Y, and Z. And you have that fire in your belly to do it. But for no good reason, you can't seem to start. That's procrastination. Fatigue is, I want to do it, I have the fire, but my body just won't allow it. You know, I'm physically or mentally not capable of doing it. And we all get fatigued and tired. And then you get laziness where I don't have that fire to do it at all. I don't want to study. I don't feel bad if I don't study. And that's the big difference between laziness. There are those guys who don't study, and the deadline comes, and you didn't study, so I don't feel bad, and they're having a very good time. That's laziness, lack of willpower, blissfully ignorant. Whereas people who are ambitious, they have will, and they don't do it, all they do is they know and they realize they're wasting their time. There's this deep sense of regret. And so I'm talking to this group of people where procrastination is one of the tools Shaitan uses. High-functioning people, highly motivated people, just wasting time for no good reason. And Allah reminds us in the Quran, وَأَنَّ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah says this is a rule with him. As for you, insan, you will not get anything except for that which you have striven for, what you worked hard for. It's also the fairness of Allah, that if you work for something, you'll get it. But if you don't work for something, either He gifts it to you, but most likely you're not going to get it. If you really want to pass the exam and you work hard, you will get there. You really want to achieve a high level of taqwa, if you put the effort in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with it. And so Allah reminds you, and the word sa'a has this concept of difficulty, hard work. You have to put in the effort. You have to put in the hours to do it. Before we jump to how to stop procrastinating, there are many people here, and as I talk, I can see they nodding their heads. They've been there, done. That's a lot of procrastinators here. Some of the most successful people are procrastinators because this is how their system works. They wake up, I want to finish my studies. I want to become Hafidh al-Quran. I want to lose 10 kilos. So the vision is there, the will is there, the drive is there. So already you are someone with vision, you have a sincere intention. And you have in the driving seat a rational guy that is telling you which way to go. But then you've got this monkey on the side that tells you, let's do it tomorrow, let's watch another YouTube video, and he distracts you. Now, what happens with procrastinators that have a deadline, if you have a deadline, as it gets closer, panic kicks in. And eventually, the day before the time, or the week before the time, you try to cram, and you know, you don't do the best job, but you survive. Now, that system works for a lot of people, but it only works for things where there is a deadline. If you have a life goal, like I'd like to become half of the Quran one day, there's no deadline to that. You'll never get to it with that system. I'd like to be fit one day. I'd like to fix on my relationships with my family, with Allah. Who's watching that deadline? There is no deadline. And so the panic never kicks in, and your life gets wasted like that. Many of us, if we didn't have deadlines at work or school, this system would mean we would actually do nothing at work. We would achieve nothing. We would just go from time to time with projects on the back burner that never gets resolved. And so I know, because I'm one of those people, I only wake up when I've got a whole lot of to-do lists. Only the ones that are due today and are burning are the ones that are going to get to. And that's because that's when someone calls you and said, hey, you promised me we're going to do this. It's due now. Now it becomes urgent. So what's very dangerous about procrastinating on the big life decisions, the big life objectives, the big vision of your life, usually those things don't have goals. They don't have deadlines stuck attached to them. Or you don't impose your own deadlines. You will never get to it. You'll never finish that qualification you wanted to do. And so that is the dangerous mindset of the procrastinator who's worked for him in his career, but it holds you back a lot more. Obviously, as I said, this is for the person who has that ambition and will. For the person who has no ambition or will, that's laziness. That's a completely different conversation that we need to have. So how do I move forward? Where I have a vision, I want to do something, I want to achieve it, but I'm being held back for no good reason. So what are the steps? And we find this in the Sunnah, we find this in the style of the Nabi Sallam. The Nabi Sallam, subhanAllah, the most productive human being that ever lived. And if you look at the way he managed his life, he managed his time, how he could achieve so much success with so little resources, was about being highly motivated. And what he gave to the Sahaba, you find the Sahaba are extremely highly motivated. They truly understood the value of time. That every moment I can do something amazing in the world. Every moment is an opportunity to get to Jannah. Whereas now, for us, we can go hours and hours and hours until Netflix asks you, are you still alive? All right? And we just keep watching, subhanAllah. So how do we stop procrastinating? It always begins with a niyyah, having that vision. And that, subhanAllah, is what separates a lot of people from the doers. The people that achieve success is having that ambition in yourself. I want to have more for my life. I want more for myself. Having that self-internal conversation. What do I want to achieve next year, next month, 10 years? Am I happy where I am? If you're just contented where you are, that's a problem. If there's no room for self-improvement, that's a problem. But for most of you, alhamdulillah, you have a list of things. I'd like to achieve this one day. Having that niyyah and being motivated. And that's where it begins. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyah. Now, alhamdulillah, in the dunya, yes, Allah only gives you for what you have put effort in. But we hope in the akhirah, Allah will also reward us for our niyyahs, for the dreams that we never took one step, but it was in our hearts. Ya Allah, one day, inshallah, ya Allah, I'll memorize the Quran. One day, I'll become, you know, for your sake. Never got there, but that niyyah, just that voice, that conversation you had, Allah will gift it to you on the day of Qiyamah. We make dua for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this dunya, you begin with that sincere niyyah. What do I want to achieve? And many times, it's good to put that down on a paper. Or put a deadline. You put a deadline on that yourself. Yes, sometimes your boss, or your teachers, or your wife will put that deadline for you. But if it's a self-deadline, put it down on a calendar. Say, inshallah, by next year this time, I'm going to be 10 kilos less. Or next year this time, I'm going to finish my matric. Or this, I'm going to have my driver's license. Whatever it is. You put that deadline, you put that niyyah, and you put a deadline to it. Now, it's really about how to have a plan of action. What are the steps that I'm going to need to get there? And it's important to create a to-do list, to actually write it down in steps. And so for our kids or our youth that are about to study, you look at the mountain, I've got 3 weeks to cover these 5 subjects. I have my deadlines, when my exams are. It's really about putting down little bits, to just put it down on a piece of paper, an itinerary, a shopping list of the things I need to do. That's why, alhamdulillah, our ladies, our sisters, are a lot more active and doers because they do this all the time. They structure their day. They have lists for everything, to-do lists. And alhamdulillah, their panic monster, there's a deadline for everything. That's why they get things done. Men, alhamdulillah, we subhanAllah, one of our problems is we procrastinate a little bit more than our sisters. And it is to break those deadlines into smaller deadlines and to just start, subhanAllah. Everyone will tell you, what's holding you back? Why don't you want to? Why are you not writing or learning or gymming or whatever it is? You always, when do I start? Just start. Get someone to help you to start. The hardest part is to just put your foot to get that first step forward, to dip your toe in the pool. And once you do it, alhamdulillah, it becomes easier. There is the way we've been built. Allah has built us in a very special way, that you can spend hours and hours doing nothing and you'll feel bad about it afterwards. Whereas you can be very busy through the day, cleaning your cupboard, making up your bed, whatever it is, and you'll feel very good afterwards, because we are built to achieve goals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built you, believe it or not, that when you achieve a goal, your brain rewards you. So you will feel good once you start winning, once you start doing things. Once you finish the first chapter, you'll feel a lot better when you do the second one and the third one. Alhamdulillah, that's the way, that's that cycle of pushing out productivity. That's why you'd find very productive people are also the happiest people. And sometimes the people doing nothing are the most miserable people. The people who have the most work and are so busy and have so many schedules, so many things on their schedules, they're also the happiest people because they are being productive. So just start and have small achievable tasks. We know that very, very famous hadith where the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he encouraged his Sahaba to do things, the deeds Allah loves the most are the ones that are few, small, but consistent. Don't try to memorize the whole Quran. Just focus on reciting half a page every day. Don't try to do the whole night in tahajjud. Just do one extra rak'ah. Just wake up 5 minutes before the adhan of fajr, and that's your tahajjud. Start with that. And when you do that, you'll feel so good starting. Then you'll build on more and more and more. We sometimes get lost in the mountain and forget, or the forest and forget the tree. And the Nabi always focus on do the small thing that is in your control and take the first step ahead of you. That's all you need to do. Small, achievable tasks. And then don't take too many breaks or get distracted. This is specifically when our youngsters are studying. You need to have a session. You know, I can't be studying for 5 minutes at a time. You need to do a half an hour. Now I take a break. Unfortunately, the age that we live in, we know that this is something which is affecting humanity, is instant gratification. Everything is instant. Click of a button, you can Uber. Click of a button, you can buy something. Click of a button, you can go anywhere in the world. You can see anything, talk to anyone. So waiting, we don't have patience to wait anymore. I mean, how people get annoyed now in traffic or for an advert, our patience tolerance is gone because we live in an instant gratification world. Now, some things can only be acquired with time and patience. Things like studying, things like learning, studying, fitness, relationships. You must have patience. You must sit down and have a conversation with your wife and listen to her for half an hour. You can't put her on times two like YouTube. Can't do that. Now, subhanAllah, there's no shortcuts in these things. And I know our brains, and I feel sorry for our kids, because I know many of us here, we grew up in a time, maybe where things were a little slower. They are growing up where everything is instant. And so to reprogram you, to say you need to sit a half an hour. You know, I've been told so many times, your lecture cannot be more than 7 minutes khutbah. I'm not there yet. I started at 45 minutes. We're now down to like 25 minutes, so halfway there. But I mean, 7 minutes is all people have attention spans. How can you achieve anything in 7 minutes? I mean, tell your wife, look, I've got 7 minutes for us to have a conversation, right? That's the attention span. But that's what you tell the imam and the teacher. Look, 7 minutes is all I have for you now. Then I need to move on to something else. To achieve things, you need to have dedicated time. But again, start small and you'll build up. Again, avoid distractions. Try not to multitask, especially if you're a man. We were not built to multitask. Focus on one thing and do it properly. It's very important to surround yourself with productive people. Sometimes you're just waiting for the next person to motivate you, but they're waiting for you to motivate them. And so you have this group of procrastinators that together, the comfort, well, if they're not panicking, I don't need to panic either. And so together, we have this, if the ship is sinking and we're waiting for the first person to sound the alarm. But when you surround yourself with people who are talking about deadlines, and maybe they're not the nicest people to hang out with, But exam time, they're the best people, because then they're going to put you in panic mode. And you will make sure, okay, I need to get done. I need to get done. And if you repeat this regularly, it becomes a habit. And that is the beauty of the Nabi Sallam. His sunnah is repetitive. That you're in the cycle of success. You woke up the same time, slept the same time, you could plan his day out, and it becomes a habit, and so you're in this productive cycle, and your life then becomes productive. To end off, we all know that no matter how much planning, thinking, strategizing, at the end of the day, as procrastination comes from Allah, motivation comes from shaitan, procrastination from shaitan, motivation is from Allah, and the Nabi Sallam gave us guidance for spiritual strength, to kickstart you, to give you that boost. And I saw the Red Bull gives you wings, dua gives you wings, that this is your spiritual boost. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make dua. Now look at this dua. Or rather, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminds us that in the morning, shaitan, before we wake up for Fajr, we know that shaitan puts knots on us. Spiritually, he locks us up in a way to be in a deep slumber. And he sort of keeps you relaxed, and he doesn't want you to. You know, shaitan doesn't want you to do anything productive, anything good. So if he can keep you sleeping, alhamdulillah, for him that's a win. If you're not committing zina, well, keep him sleeping, then he's not doing any good. So shaitan puts a lot of emphasis to keep you asleep. And so the Nabi, and he whispers in your ear, the night is long, you still it's a long time, don't worry. The alarm, snooze, 5 minutes, snooze, snooze, snooze. You keep going, that's shaitan. And you keep sleeping. And you, of course, can miss your salah. So many people smiling here, we all know that, right? The Nabi Sallam then says, but if you force yourself and you wake up and you make a dua, the first knot or shackle that shaitan puts on you disappears. And then when you make wudu, you feel a lot better. The second shackle, chain that shaitan has on you is gone. And the third one, perform your fajr salah and in its waqt, in its time, not after sunrise, may Allah forgive all of us. The last of shaitan's knots, and automatically, what does Allah give you? He didn't only give you the reward for that, but now, the Nabi says in Sahih Bukhari, when he does these three things and the knots are unfastened, after that, he will be energetic and happy in the morning. Otherwise, he would get up listless and grouchy. So when your co-worker comes grumpy, he says, you didn't make fajr, no? But subhanAllah, this is energetic and full of readiness, not for salah, not to make a khatam now, to go out and earn your rizq, to go out and finish that chapter. Allah has now, you have started with Allah, and now Allah is going to put barakah in your time, in your day. You're going to get those gains in the gym. You're going to get whatever it is, subhanAllah, by performing your fajr on time. And this, subhanAllah, it shows you, you know, there's a book called The 4 AM Club. You know, there's these self-help books, all what the CEOs and the most successful people. Many of them, they start their day at fajr time. And there's a reason why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's when he started. In fact, he started a little bit before fajr. And that's what gives you the energy and the strength to be successful. And then we end off with this dua. A dua that we should all recite. Now, if the most successful, productive, motivated man on earth made this dua daily, we should make this dua multiple times a day. Allahumma inni, O Allah, I seek your protection. Min alhammi wal khazani. From, O Allah, I make dua to you to protect me from sorrow and grief and anxiety. Wa a'udhu bika min al-ajazi wal kasali. And I make dua, Ya Allah, protect me from being lazy and from being weak, being fatigued and useless. وَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ. And I make dua, Ya Allah, protect me from being from cowardice and from being stingy and miserly. وَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ. Oh Allah, protect me from being overwhelmed by my debt. وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ. And to be overpowered by some people, to be in a difficult situation. So when you do these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at all the things, from sadness, grief, misery, regret, from laziness, procrastination, from being harmed, all these things, the Nabi will make dua for this every day. And so inculcate these duas. And may Allah bless you. May Allah grant us a good ending to the year. And may Allah grant us all the success. Ameen. Just one announcement. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. at our nursery school, Branal House, there will be free diabetes screening. So anyone who's worried about the seeker, go and test yourself, inshallah, and it'll be for free. May Allah grant us all shifa. Ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.